Megabyte.co.uk presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 329 and the first one of 2017. I'm Adam, and before annihilating it, why don't we take a look? And here, for the first time in 2017, is Debbie Melrose.
All personnel must be properly screened and scrupulously filed.
Andy Nunny.
Come on, you must take the load, you must.
Mary Lang.
Overweight, underpowered old museum piece.
Thank you. And he wasn't supposed to be here, but he is. Kirby Bartlett Sloan. Happy New Year, everybody. Let's hope this one can be better than the previous seven we've done. Today we're going to be rejoining the journey, at least for a few weeks. Yay. Anyway, before the official British Spring starts and we get to see new Doctor Who. Although they keep on giving us little tasters of scenes we didn't see in the little preview among little BBC iDents. So we see BBC iDents of various shows that the BBC is going to be showing over the next few months, Doctor Who included, and some very short, like 2-second teasers.
One thing I can confirm, I saw a better screen grab from the preview that was on after Dr. Mysterio, and those are definitely Movellans.
Are they?
Because they have not only do they have the costume, the dreadlocks, they have the gun on the arm.
Well, there you go. So if they aren't, you're going to look even more sillier than you did when we had. They were definitely. Nymon.
It'll probably be 2 seconds of Movellans.
Okay.
But still.
So long as they don't bring back the Axons.
Yeah.
No need for that, Mary.
I thought the Axons came back in an audio.
The Axons, if they did come back, could be reimagined better than they were in this. But bear in mind, this was made in 1971.
Well, they came back in audio. They certainly looked a lot better.
I'm sure they looked exactly the same.
And very adaptable they were too. Anyway, right then. So let's look at the Claws of Axos, everyone. It begins eventually when my DVD thingy kicks into gear. With the title sequence. And then the clip from Star Trek. Was it the episode of Star Trek with the cigar-shaped object that we were discussing a few weeks ago?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It's the...
It's the probe.
The what?
No, it reminds me... Oh, that's what she said. It reminds me of the Doomsday Machine.
Doomsday Machine, that's the one.
Yes,
the Doomsday Machine. Slightly smaller, but maybe it's a baby Doomsday Machine. I don't know. Anyway, it's crashing into Earth, essentially. And it does. It's quite an interesting design, actually. Especially this type of fiberglass they used for it. But it's supposed to be an organic spaceship. So while it's crashing into Earth,
they were the first of the organic sort of spaceship people before the Zygons.
Apparently so, yes. Maybe they're related. You don't know, do you? Anyway, right. And then we cut away from that spaceship.
Oh, they
crashing
are. They
scene.
Think if you come to think of it, they are shapeshifters.
Thank you. We cut away from that a spaceship crashing scene to the obligatory pompous politician, which they seem to have in every Earthbound story of Doctor Who at the moment.
Duplicators.
Huh?
True. Okay.
Duplicators. Yes. It's a Mr. Chin who. It sounds like he's Chinese. The name Chin for me.
I know.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
And he's got two chins. So perhaps he should have been called Chin Chin.
Chin Chin.
He's obviously an MP.
Obviously, yes.
Not necessarily an MP. No, it's not necessarily an MP. He could be a civil servant.
Okay.
No, well, actually, they in the info text, he is an MP.
Oh,
thank
cool.
you. Yes, mm-hmm. Okay. Right, and then we meet very quickly Joe's sort of fancy piece for the story in the shape of Bill Filer. Now, Bill has a very, very good American accent. I think we established last time this good American accent was because the actor is, in fact, American.
Oh, I disagree. I mean, he almost has nothing to say. It sounds okay, but give him more lines and it's rubbish.
I can't remember whether he's American or not, actually. What do you reckon then, Kirby?
His accent is very strange.
No, I thought he was British because when he's sort of flailing about on the bed saying, distribute the axonite, you know, he got very English.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
Didn't sound too bad to me, but there you go. Well, who am I to say?
Much to say.
Yeah, who are you to say?
Around and talking like he's from Texas or something.
He's got a very interesting haircut, anyway.
love his haircut.
It was a typical American secret agent type haircut, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, he was our typical, you know, American secret agent, wasn't he?
Yeah. Anyway, the spaceship has crashed into a beach, and the tramp sort of stumbles across it after throwing a broken bike. I mean, he finds this bike.
Ooh, arr.
Yeah, thank you. He finds this broken bike, which has obviously been fly-tipped onto the beach. I think, well, it's obviously no good, otherwise somebody would have kept it instead of fly-tipping it, and gets annoyed with it because he can't use it. And he's already got a bike. What's the matter with him?
Yeah, I know. I didn't understand that either.
Hmm. I mean, also, that female unit officer's wearing different uniform than the rest of them. She's got a blue.
Corporal Bell.
Corporal Bell, wearing a blue uniform today. Don't quite understand why. Chin, meanwhile, is being very pompous. And like I say, the spaceship crashes.
Used abort mission. Destruct.
Goes and has a looking and then gets sort of roped. Essentially roped into the spaceship by this rather long tentacle. And gets examined. I thought that was John Pertwee when I first saw him. I thought they've just dressed up John Pertwee in a tramp's outfit and got him to do this scene.
Actually, so. You know who that is?
No, I don't, actually.
It's Derek Ware.
Oh, is it?
Derek Ware, and his character is called Pig Bin Josh.
I love that name. Pig Bin Josh.
Pig Bin Josh, the tramp. War.
War. Yeah.
Is that what tramps say then? War.
Well, this one certainly did, didn't he?
Yes.
Sounds like a pirate.
And then we have Mr. Carstairs, who's weathered rather well from the war. Now he's grown his hair a little bit. Now he's wearing glasses, and who is sort of semi in charge of the research unit at the nuclear base, I believe. I can't remember now. And they all go to sort of investigate this spaceship thingy, find the tramp on the beach, and who is it? I think Captain Yates pokes it, and its face collapses. But you know, it collapses in a flash of very bright light, which is a bit weird.
Well, the master. The reason for that is that they actually filmed the whole thing, and they considered showing the collapsing, but it was someone said this is too gross. For kitties.
No.
Aww.
That's a shame.
I would have loved it.
They probably put it in now.
Yeah, they would.
Yeah.
They made a wax casting of his face.
Yeah, the thing is, they'd put it in now, but they'd have edited out Joe's flashing her knickers.
Yes. Or they just wouldn't have had Joe wearing such a short dress. That's probably.
Yeah. I thought you said wouldn't have Joe any knickers. I thought you were about to say then.
Don't be silly. Yeah, which probably would have been, but you've been under a longer dress, you wouldn't know. Anyway, what I was quite impressed with, actually, was that inside the Axon ship was this sort of eye thing. The eye looked quite good. I was quite impressed with that. But the fact that you could see light shining around the edge of the eye was a bit rubbish. But the actual, there was really quite a shiny thing. It had a little bit of life to it. I thought it was quite good. But then they let themselves down with the... I'll move on. Right, and so the doctor gets sort of probed. I love the way that Joe also is told to stay behind rather sexistly by all the unit officers, and you know full well she's not going to. Why should
she? Well, she had to go out and get very, very cold because she's the only person that didn't have any long underwear.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, yeah, so she finds somewhere warm, though, in the interior of the spaceship. Filer is in there because that's the voice she hears. But also in there is the master, has been sort of... encapsulated, and then the or the axons come out of the walls and in their weird leotard thingies. Doesn't leave a lot to the imagination, to be fair. Budgie smugglers comes to mind when I think of that. Right, and they try to do a deal. They tried to do a deal in which they got this marvellous stuff called Axonite, which can morph into anything you want it to, so it can solve the starvation problems around the world by making...
It can make food animal frogs larger.
Yeah, it was a food animal in France. I don't know why they didn't go pick up on that one. The French must be absolutely delighted with the scenario of having giant frogs to eat. Especially, I mean, having a frog's leg would be like having a chicken's leg.
If you did... increase the size and all like that, it would just collapse under its own weight. It wouldn't be viable.
Oh, that's, you're no fun, are you, Andy?
No, he's not.
Yeah, so of course the process can be reversed. And then out of the wall comes a crinoid.
I wonder if the zippers on the backs of the Axon's leotards are made by the company I work for.
I wouldn't know. But anyway, the episode ends with some crinoids coming out of the wall, but on this episode, they're painted sort of an orangey colour. Now, everybody who doesn't know what I'm talking about, sorry. But
no, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, dear, never mind. A short answer is these creatures are reused later on in the Seeds of Doom, is it? Or Seeds of Death, I can't remember which one it's called now, where they play crinoids.
Seeds of Doom, Seeds of Death with Troughton.
So it'd be Seeds of Doom then. Episode.
Yeah, that's one I have not seen.
Oh, well,
which one?
So anyway, yeah.
I obviously saw the Trout, and I'm talking about the Baker one that we're.
Yeah, the Baker one. Yeah, it'll be a while before we get to see that one. But the look out for the crinoids, or shall I say, the axons when they turn up painted green as crinoids. Right. So they sort of get away and bump into Jo, who's got a bit funny. She is sure she heard Filer's voice. Meanwhile, Filer is advised by the master to shoot some ganglion thing and release them. Chin is doing a brilliant deal, an exclusive British deal in which they get sole use of Axonite, which I thought I quite liked that particular idea.
It was a Brexiter, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Brits would not allow any other country to have it. And then and later on in the story, when, of course, he realises it's not a good idea all the other countries have it, he immediately lets, because obviously he's told by his senior, lets every other country have some. Filer, meanwhile, is duplicated, and a version of him has gone in to go sent in to sort of get the doctor, but... I like the fact the doctor does a bit of his karate stuff. Or is it karate? I can't remember. He does anyway. It doesn't work, so that was quite good. I also like the eye thing that sort of we see when the axons are talking. I mean, this is a different eye thing. This is an eye on a stalk with some sort of netting over the front of it, and lights up when they speak to you. I think that was quite a cool thing. There's lots of scenes also of various characters going in and out of this spaceship. Simply because I would imagine they
seem to have easy access, don't they?
Well, yeah, they spent obviously quite a lot of money creating this particular piece of scenery. I think they thought they better get as much use out of it as possible because there was lots of captured being and not captured or escaping and going back in again and vice versa and toing and froing and stuff. Master, of course, gets out and has to kill someone on his way out, either way.
And that's unusual. He didn't use his tissue compression eliminator.
He didn't have it on him, did he? Otherwise, he would have done. But it does a good scene where he's on a lorry and he does the eye on the mast, "You will obey me," through the mirror.
Yes, that was cool.
Of the lorry. Like I say, Violet, fake Filer doesn't get much luck in trying to overcome the doctor. And something else, doesn't he get lobbed in the cylinder and then he gets a doctor to put some axonite stuff and it all goes a bit funny and some foam starts coming out and apparently the foam is pure axonite.
Yes.
So what's the other axonite?
Wait, is this the third or fourth time they've used the foam machine?
I don't know, but
I tell you what, my favourite monster in this whole story was the guy under the sheet.
Yes.
That was amazing.
That's Filer, isn't it?
When he turned up.
That was Filer, wasn't it? Turning into
bags,
the.
But that was.
Oh no, that wasn't Filer, was it? That was actually Carstairs, or Windsor, as he was called in this particular story.
Windsor.
Because he got killed because he touched the rather like in Inferno, he touched the glass of and then he got transformed into this Axon lump, which Debbie likes so much.
Oh, he was brilliant.
So episode three. Actually, I will say the little callbacks they did at the beginning of each episode weren't as long as Doctor Who callbacks normally are. It was only a couple of lines and they were in, which is good because it made the story flow a bit better.
Yes.
There was also another scene in which these axons encirculate the Doctor and Joe and then transport them and they turn themselves back into leotard-wearing people. And they take them once again back to the Axon ship.
Re-personalize.
Yeah,
re-personalize. Yeah.
Yes.
It was cool, Master.
Yes.
I liked that cool effect when the Doctor and Joe were looking at the main Axon talking, and his face was shifting.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Oh,
yeah, I've always
screen,
liked that scene
on the screen.
Yeah, that's
seeing him from the front. Yeah.
Yeah, the sort of the three different angles overlapping and things. That's one thing I really do like. That's innovative and original. I do particularly like that particular way of showing that particular scene. I liked it. Thank you, Kirby, for pointing that one out. Now I'm just having a look on here for a second. Bear with. Aha, there it is. Right. No, it's not. Something's gone wrong.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. Where am I being broadcast to? Oh, yes, I'm on my own timeline. That would be why then.
Oh, no.
Anyway, right.
Maybe you should change it.
I can't. I'm already on there.
Oh. Well,
there's some funny comments coming through.
Someone put a link to it. Someone share it over to the main timeline.
Do I have to do absolutely everything?
Yes.
Well, you don't want me to do it or else you'll lose my connection.
The funny thing is, I did actually do it. I did do it correctly on my phone, so I don't know why it's appearing on the main timeline. Sorry for people who are not the slightest bit interested in Doctor Who. How boring, isn't it? Right. And I haven't got time to do this, Kirby. I'm trying to do a show here. Anyway, right.
Well, maybe someone else can do it.
Well, you do it. Why can't you do it?
No? Okay, if I go share.
All right, Debbie, why can't you do it?
Do what?
Thank you for paying attention.
Share his video over to 20 megabyte.
Yes, that would be helpful. Meanwhile, back to Doctor Who. As I was saying, so the Master has. He sort of managed to use a minor disguise to get himself into the research centre. Bill Filer, like we said earlier on, has gone a bit. His accent's gone a bit strange, but he's supposed to be in a coma, isn't he? So I've heard that some people, when in comas, can come up with different accents and actually speak different language that apparently they never knew. So that would explain why Bill Filer was talking in a suspect British / American accent, would it not? No? Okay. Everyone's gone quiet, so obviously I'm talking correctly. Hey?
We're all trying to share your video.
Oh, I see. You're not paying attention.
No, we're all doing what you asked. It's not working.
Okay. Oh, well, don't worry about it then. Forget it. Let's go back to the story. Anyway, the Master's got into the Doctor's TARDIS, and the Doctor's made a bit of a mess of the console. But the Master, being an engineer, will be able to sort it out. The Doctor is being kept prisoner and he sort of doesn't really want to help the Axons because they want to take over Earth and use it as a food source. But when they threaten to kill...
They change their goal, don't they? They want time travel. Earth is just
that's
by the
too. Plan. That's too. But they want to... They threaten the Doctor by killing or aging Joe to death. That's the thing that means the whole of the human race and all animals on Earth will have to die because the Doctor doesn't want Joe to get aged to death. Is that correct?
When did that with Turnisher and Tegan. What story was that? Was it Snake Dance?
No, it was the...
Terminus. No,
it wasn't that one either. It was Mordred Undead.
I got it shared.
Mordred Undead.
You're too late.
Mordred Undead, yes.
Anyway, back to this story. Where did I get up to? Blah, 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 blah.
I got the video shared, the live video.
Kirby, well Kirby, done. You're too late. I did it.
Well, clever. Anyway, right.
Kirby already did it.
Yes, I already did it.
That's what she
okay,
said.
Okay, well, now we've got multiples.
Now you've got
it. Now you sound like Cher.
Oh, be quiet. Right, where did we get up to? Right, I've got to go back now because you put me right off. The doctor is able to help the Axons by giving them some formulae, whatever you call them in mathematical terms, of how to ever do time jumps or whatever you call it. And they realise they need a great deal of power. Oh, look, they're right next to a nuclear power station. That's handy, isn't it?
Yes, how coincidental.
That never made sense.
And also there's a scene with a potential friend of the show, but not because I never get to did an interview with him, Charlie Slater, otherwise known as Derek Thingamajig, having a fight with a crinoid. I mean, with a, what are they called again? Zygon. No, what are they called again?
Axons.
That's the ones. So you're all paying attention now, aren't you? Yeah. That was
Somebody's got to.
Derek Thingamajig that used to play Charlie Slater, Mary.
Did he really?
No, not Debbie Riley, no. It was... never mind. I met him in Newcastle. Very nice chap.
Oh, yeah.
The Master, meanwhile, is he sort of manages to talk the Brigadier around by saying, well, I'll help you if you let me guarantee my freedom and stuff like that. The Doctor, once again... did you see the Doctor's little sort of sofa that they made for him out of this sort of extremely large bubble wrap?
But if you notice, when he gets up and he bumps into it, it scrapes on the floor.
Yes.
It's made of something other than a soft material.
Yeah, it's very cool. Anyway, the Doctor comes flying in and sort of that's right, the Master have decided that they've got to blow up the Axon ship by basically feedback looping it or something like that. It doesn't matter if the Doctor and Joe are in it, because what's the choice? The whole of the human race dead or just Doctor and Joe? But the Doctor and Joe are in the process of escaping.
Well, I think he would choose Doctor and Joe anyway.
I know, but the Doctor was happy to risk the whole of the human race for the sake of saving Joe from aging to death, but the Master and the Brigadier decide that it's probably best that the Doctor and Joe go and save the rest of the human race. So there's a bit of a conflict of interests there,
which I find her aging interesting, because when you see her now, you know, she doesn't look anything like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Her mouth grew.
Yes, her mouth did grow somehow.
What? Her mouth grew as she got older, as in the real
Casey
Manning.
Yeah,
in real life, her mouth grew, but it did.
Well, go and see the episode of Sarah Jane, The Death of the Doctor, that she's in, and you'll notice that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, they could actually redo that scene, couldn't they, and actually get Katie Manning to film.
Get some real shots of her,
And sort of rework the scene, but they won't. But they could. So the Doctor and Joe, in fact, do just about escape.
I loved when they came out the thing, that the Doctor did this wonderful rolling dive, and Joe just sort of walked out.
Yeah, and considering that John Pertwee is supposed to have a really bad back, I was surprised he did that rolling dive, to be fair.
So did it.
The Doctor arrives back at the centre, a bit confused as to why the Master's there. Master, meanwhile, sort of helping. They decided to have an alliance. The Doctor decides that he wants to get away from Earth, so him and the Master are going to get away and leave them to it. And I noticed
when the Master went into the TARDIS by himself, that everything's been fixed and put away. I mean, when he first went in, there's wires everywhere. As soon as he goes in, and the console's been put back together again.
Well, he's been working hard, Andy.
Yeah, but no, did he do it? The Doctor did it.
No, he did it. The Master did it. He's been fixing the TARDIS console so as they can actually use it. All right, no need to start chucking stuff around. And there's also a scene just after that where the Axon ship starts emerging from the sand, and it's quite funny. I thought that the entrance to it looks completely different to the entrance we've been watching for the whole story. Yes,
Master.
Yes.
They keep referring. Everything refers to that beach as Shingle.
Yes.
Why?
What?
Pardon? But he said why.
Because it's covered in shingle. Google
what is shingle.
Shingle. Google it.
Shingles.
It's loads of
shingle
big stones.
Is small pebbles. Small pebbles that get really annoyingly into your shoes.
Yeah, okay. Thank you for that. Anyway, meanwhile, the units holding...
Okay, I believe that we've run across a Britishism.
It's not. Meanwhile, the unit soldiers...
It's like jail.
Yes, thank you, Debbie. The unit soldiers, basically Benton and Yates, friends of the show. Well, Yates is. Get driven at you put me right off. They're driving at the crinoids. The axons. Now, what got me thought about the thing, there's a scene in which they jump out of the Land Rover and the Land Rover explodes and rolls down this sort of embankment on fire.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yates threw a dropped grenade, yeah. Didn't he?
Well, when we think, oh, that's the budget for this episode must have been quite good. The BBC were prepared to blow up a Land Rover. And
probably
also...
That's an expensive thing to do.
And build a huge prop, which they buried in a beach somewhere. So, quite an expensive episode, I would have thought.
Yeah.
So, meanwhile, the Doctor and the Master decide to attempt to escape. They go back to the Axon ship and try and seal a bargain with them. The Doctor or someone has decided they're going to overload or give all the Axons the power all at once, therefore killing them all. And the Doctor's come a brilliant plan of putting them into a time loop. Is this the first time a time loop's been mentioned in Doctor Who? Why is everyone quiet?
I don't know. Well, I don't know.
I don't know. No idea.
Did Troughton not do one?
Was it not? I don't know. Anyway, so yeah, so that's the Doctor's plan. The Master gets away, I think, in his own TARDIS. And the Doctor tries to get away, but unfortunately the TARDIS, and fortunately for him, the TARDIS materialises at the nuclear plant, which everybody's a little bit too close to for my liking, considering it's all blowing up and it's a nuclear power station. They're just sort of hiding around the nearest wall outside.
All they have to do is find Eldrad.
Really? Is that the same
plant? They can absorb the explosion.
Yeah, but is Derek Martin. Thank you, Alan T. Butcher, for pointing out it was Derek Martin. I should have known that because I met the bloke. He was the bloke with the Tash, the unit soldier that had the fight with the crinoid. I mean the axon. So, yeah, that's essentially it. But interesting to note that, we're already about a series and a half into John Pertwee, and already they're deciding that doing all the stories on Earth isn't exactly going to work. So they've been quite alien with this one, and we've actually got the TARDIS dematerialising for the first time since Troughton. So I'm going to tell you what I think of this story. I think I've probably already said this previous times we reviewed it. I hadn't even done any Stella yet. Yeah, me.
Okay.
I really quite enjoy this story because I've watched it quite a few times. It's probably one of the ones I first got on video a while back. So when I had a limited amount of Doctor Who videos, I only had a certain amount of stories I could watch, and obviously I watch this over and over again. And when you watch something too many times, you probably get a bit bored of it. But I haven't watched it for a while, and it's got its flaws. The special effects are a bit naff. The costumes are a bit naff in regards to the crinoids. I mean the axons. But as a story, it's actually quite good fun. Four-parter, about right for me. Perfect Doctor Who. What do you do? Think, Debbie Melrose.
I'd never seen it before.
Yeah, but what about the story?
Nice to see the Doctor and Master.
I thought you were going to do a Brucey impression then.
I really liked the way that the Master was like, you're not really going against your beloved Earth. Yes, I am. Oh, all right, fair enough then. You know, it was one of those, and then the inevitable moment when the Master looked at him like, you git. It was great having those two sort of bouncing off each other again. I do like that. And
bouncing off each other.
They're obviously brothers.
Be quiet, Kirby.
I enjoyed it, yeah. I'm glad it was four. It would have been way too stretched out if it had been more than that, like unfortunately Who has in the past. But first time I've watched it, and I really quite liked it. It's a good classic Doctor Who story, and obviously my favourite bit, that guy, as Mary said, trying to get out of the sleeping bag. That monster is so simple. What a simple idea, but it just summed up Doctor Who in, you know, you suspend your disbelief, and I was just cheering at that point. So call it the alcohol over the last couple of days, but I really like that.
I got some alcohol. My throat's going dry.
I haven't.
I haven't. It's 2:35 in the
afternoon.
It's
also January. I'm not supposed to drink anything during January.
It's January for me, so I can't. I've still got 26 days to go.
Not supposed to drink anything in January.
Debbie, what were you saying?
I said it's over the yard arm. You can surely have a drink.
When we're done, I'm going to go out, see if anyone's made any progress or if the ice has sublimated enough.
ISIS? To get out of the ISIS around your neighborhood? That's disastrous.
It's not ISIS.
You've been talking to one of our other members, haven't you?
So if the ice has melted or evaporated, sublimated,
We call
I'm
it thawed out
try to go
in this
Rogue
country.
One.
It's called thawing, Kirby, in Britain, when ice melts.
No, when it goes directly from ice to vapor,
slush.
Skipping the middle, skipping the liquid
slush.
Part, that's sublimation.
Okay, can we get back to the subject? Have you finished yet, Debbie?
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Good, right. Andy, what did you think?
I thought the first two episodes were dead boring. I mean, I've got hardly any notes. Then it livened up a bit. I mean, the first one was... There's almost people rushing, like you say, rushing in and out of the
that's what she
the
said.
On the spaceship. But then it starts to get a bit more enjoyable and a bit more interesting. And the dynamic with between the Doctor and the Master was good. The way the Doctor set up the alliance with the Master. Now, he went along, it looked like he was going to sell out. But obviously, everyone knew he wasn't going to. But I thought it was quite good. I thought the way the Master was very pragmatic, realised he was going to be stuffed by the Axons, right? So let's throw your lot in with the humans.
There's lots of very rude things being said in this episode. We are live on my main feed, you know. Please try and keep it clean, everyone.
Sorry, what are you talking... Hey?
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about, Adam?
Never mind, carry on.
Kirby, I've no idea what Adam's talking about, then, but I'm going to carry on.
I have no idea.
Because you weren't listening, Kirby. Carry on.
The way he had the Brigadier, you know, he forced him to guarantee his freedom. And then when Farley came in, he said, look, I've got freedom guaranteed. But like at the end where the Doctor said, you know, I am coming back. You know, he could have lied and said, no, of course I came back, my own free will. But at least he was quite honest about it. But it's funny, I mean, Debbie said it would have been stretched at six. I mean, six, it would have been painful.
They could have done five.
There was barely enough in it before, I think. So the first two were dreadful, really boring. The last two episodes I enjoyed. So it's a... Yeah, it's not a classic. I mean, if I were to think, I want to sit down and watch a Doctor Who, it's not the first thing I'd reach for, but no, I'd watch it again, but that's about as far as it goes, really.
Oh, well, thank you very much. What did you think of the story then, Kirby?
Oh, I like it. This is a nice, fun story. I can't really add much more except that Andy is wrong. The whole thing is interesting, and...
Who's tapping their spoon against something at the moment? It's very naughty. Who's doing that?
Someone is eating.
Who would that be then?
Not me.
It's not me.
Okay, Debbie. All right, I think we've narrowed it down to you. All right, carry on, Kirby.
Or is that Andy pouring a glass of wine?
I won't be pouring a glass of wine till February, will I?
No.
I wasn't doing anything. Literally, I'm just sat here.
Okay. Well, it wasn't me. Anyway. Not much more I can say except that it's a fun little story. I'm looking forward to next week because we're getting to one that I have not seen.
Good. So that leaves.
Maybe
I have the Doomsday Weapon, as it's called in the novelization, in novel form.
Okay. Now that leaves one more person. Mary.
Very mixed feelings about this one. It is a story that I think the authors could never really make up their mind what they wanted to do with it, because at times it is like dead serious. And sometimes, you know, the same actor will turn around and do something completely buffoonery funny. So whether it's supposed to be funny or whether it's supposed to be serious, I don't know, because it veered back and forth so much. And there are some very funny lines in it, you know, so I want to say that it's funny, but, you know, but a lot of the time, I mean, Pertwee is always dead serious through this whole thing. Mm-hmm. He doesn't crack any jokes. So it's like one person is taking everything seriously while everybody around him is, you know, putting on a comedy show. Mm. I read that this was whittled down from, get this, 7 episodes.
Yes.
So can you imagine? Yeah, can you imagine what they left out?
Mm. Oh, my God.
Bear thinking about.
But this is the early days of color TV. So yeah. The set people went crazy and brought us, you know, all this psychedelic, organic, you know, like lava light, lava lamp kind of interior there. That I also read that the cast hated this because what they saw was like neon orange. You know, they thought this is going to be just dreadful, which may give some weight to why some things were just done so silly, because maybe they thought it was supposed to be silly. Where it's when they saw it later that they saw how toned down everything was, if you want to call that toned down. but yeah, they had no idea that it was going to be anything but really neon bright. I was going to comment on Filer. He's more of a parody of an American. Because like I said, whenever he had any lengthy things to say, he had a tendency to like grab his belt loops, you know, and swagger.
Is that not what you Americans do when you talk then?
He came from Texas, you know, it's like, oh, my gosh. What is
he? I do that every time I talk.
Yeah, I thought you did, Kirby.
And I always enjoy these Doctor Who episodes that start out with some goofy, dim-witted character that, of course, you know, is like the red-shirted person in Star Trek. You know, they're always the first one to, you know, feel the wrath of whatever alien power lands. Part of this, you know, the episode not really knowing whether it's comedy or scary, was kind of decided for me that when Windsor turns into that, you know, sleeping bag of death. This is just so stupid. How does anybody buy this? and then the master, which, by the way, I just love the job that, what's his name who plays the master?
Roger Delgado.
Thank you, Delgado. Yes, I was going to say alien. I know it isn't him. He does a great job throughout this whole episode. He turns some really ridiculous lines into believable things with his character, and I love the interactions with him and Pertwee. But there is that scene where he is talking to, I think it's Yates. We never see the front of him because he's got this oversized greatcoat, and he turns around. Yeah. And he pulls off what has to have been an obviously misfitting mask, plus that, you know, the oversized greatcoat. Didn't Yates have the first clue that this guy wasn't authentic?
Yeah, that was a bit worrying. The security is rather lax.
Well, obviously Yates was being hypnotized by the master.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. And then the only other thing I was going to say was how amused I was at how they aged Katie Manning. I saw her in Chicago last year, and believe me, her mouth is huge.
Yes.
But, yes, it would be interesting if they reshot those scenes to show what she really looks like when she's older. So, yeah, I mean, and I kind of agree with Andy. The first couple of episodes for me were boring. But the second two I thought were a lot more interesting and engaging.
Well said.
Okay. If that's true, why was it I fell asleep during the fourth episode?
Well, because you've got a strange sense of what's interesting, Kirby.
Sorry, what was that?
So I'm done.
Oh, we're done. Oh, great. Okay. Oh, well, thank you, everyone. Yes, I think we generally quite liked it, didn't we, Debbie?
Yeah, I think so. That's a chord.
Okay, well, let's do some feedback then.
How you doing? The Claws of Axos by Bob Baker and Dave Martin. Okay, in my opinion, this is one of the better Pertwee stories. Not quite up there with some of my other favourite ones of his, like the Sea Devils and so on, but up there no less. I found the entertainment value quite good. Some of the action scenes were good. There's not a great deal I can say about this story that's negative. I thought it had a great plot line, you know, the concept of the Actons coming to the Earth with the deceptive intention of good, but their real objective was to exploit the Earth and to leave it for dead. I thought that was good. Again, we see the team up between Delgado and Pertwee, which is going to continue throughout this season, which I think is fantastic. We see that uneasy alliance again between the Doctor and the Master in episode 4, when the Doctor tries to escape from his exile and fails. Yeah, anyway, great stuff. One of the aspects of this story which I absolutely loved was the organic design of the Axon ship, which was a mix of weird, blobby, almost psychedelic design of the interior, which I thought was quite impressive and also slightly weird as well. Yeah, but anyway, great CSO work, I thought. Great effects. Plus the Axons themselves in their non-humanoid form, I thought looked fantastic. And as we know, those costumes get used again in another great story of the classic era of Doctor Who. You know, the special effects are often, or the wobbly sets are often criticised in Doctor Who in this era, but I thought in this case, in the Claws of Axos, they actually weren't too bad. You know, I've seen worse anyway, yeah. The location of filming was, it's well documented that there was a nasty snowstorm and that kind of hindered the proceedings somewhat. But I thought in the actual finished production that the snow and the snowstorms actually only added to the positive aspect of this story with a sort of a great atmosphere. Yeah, I did. I didn't see this story till I was in my late teens. It was first broadcast when I was about six, I think, or six or seven. But I first saw it in my, I think I was about 18 at the time. And even then I was actually quite impressed when I first saw it. Great stuff. But all in all, a great story, great plot, great effects. And again, we see Delgado and Pertwee. Fantastic stuff. Take care.
That's Billy Kirkbright, everyone. So thank you, Billy.
Thank you, Billy.
Thank you, Billy.
Billy's coming to the UK again in next year. So we've got Jason Schwang coming this year, and yeah. Billy's coming back again next year.
Oh, I suspect Billy will be trying to avoid me at all costs, as like he did last time. So, never know. We might have to manipulate things so as he doesn't get to avoid me on his next trip. Right, got some more feedback. Goes a bit like this.
Hello there, 20 Megabyte Podcasters. This is Paul Gobert with my review for The Vampire from Space. Mixed thoughts about this one. I like the premise and the execution of the story. However, I really dislike the design of the Axon vessel, especially as the internal aspects and the colours. So it puts me off the story a bit. Chin's really irritating, as he's meant to be.
Yeah.
And the Doctor's continual annoyance with politicians is shown to a T here.
Yeah.
Overall, it's not a bad story. But due to the design, I've given it a 6 out of 10.
Ooh.
Also thought I would pass on my thoughts on the return of Dr. Mysterio.
Thank you.
Not had a chance to listen to last week's podcast yet, so looking forward to that. But to be honest, this was fine.
Yeah,
I'm not very keen on any of the Christmas specials. They all tend to be throwaway stories with very little consequence or plot. This was more of the same, bit of light-hearted fun for Christmas. Glad to see Nardole back, but I'm not really sure why he's there. Anyway, another meh Christmas episode for me, but the preview for season 10 looks pretty good. Till next time.
Oh, that's Paul Gobert, everyone. Thank you, Paul. Quite an abrupt end, but yes, thank you, Paul, very much indeed. Beg your pardon, Debbie?
We said thank you, Paul, before you told us to.
Did you? Oh, yeah. Well done. I was going to say you're learning after a good 150 episodes.
After all this time.
Yeah,
we are trainable.
What, trainable? Lord.
Yeah, finally.
Yeah. Okay, I have dispatched Alan T. Butcher's text to Mrs. Melrose.
Did you get did you get Captain Kirk's
We're
audio?
Doing Andy Allen's first. Sorry, Andy. We're doing Allen's first. Thank you, Kirby. But thank you for your interference. I mean, for your input. Thank you very much. Go on then, Kirby. I'll lean back with my can of Stella and enjoy it.
Nice. The Santa Claus of Axos. The Claws of Axos is, of course, a closely studied allegory of unbridled consumerism trying to overtake Christmas like some sort of fruit-based electronic device manufacturer. An apparently golden gift frankly incenses our hero and makes him err on the side of caution and dispose of this counterfeit free enterprise that is seeking to entrap humanity by the classic strategy of a loss leader provision of a potentially ubiquitous multiple-use product at little cost to manufacture a dependency and then using that addiction to obtain a monopolistic preeminence. Once again, as the Doctor's confidence grows apace, the Master runs into trouble with his allies even more quickly than before. He is already confined at the commencement. Mr. Chin represents an avaricious element of government seeking to take a cut from the Axon's commercial miscreants by securing exclusive distribution rights. UNIT, as usual, intervene with the more philanthropic approach, at least until they discover this plays into the hands or tentacles of the Axons, at which point they switch to extreme regulation. I get mixed up on the word regulation, honestly. Ultimately, the Doctor and the Master are required to make the Axons disappear up their own time loop by appealing to their ingrained sense of insatiable veracity. We also learn that Marco of San Martino not only survived the visitation of the Mandragora Helix and was rejuvenated, but he lived on and eventually joined UNIT some 500 years later in the 1970s. Or was that the 1980s? All in all, Claws of Axos is a brilliant story with a very solid plot. Granted, the writer's signature fantastical approach to the use of contemporary science topics make it a form of pseudo-hard sci-fi, but I would contend this approach is at the very heart of a lot of very successful Doctor Who. Pertwee has been established now as an extreme iconoclast, but this is juxtaposed very effectively with the use of his apparent establishment-like facade. Delgado is yet again superb in possibly the least comfortable position his character finds himself in until he adopts the burnt green look. Next up, Doctor Who and the East India Company. Those are my thoughts, Alan T. Butcher.
Well done, Debbie.
Regulation, honestly. All the words, regulation.
Hello, Friends in the Mac Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Hey.
Oh, wow. The Claws of Axos by Baker and Martin. Yetis made of spaghetti. Another pompous government minister. This was during the Edward Heath government. The Axos spaceship buries itself mostly underground. That saves the BBC a bit of money. Katie Manning did not enjoy walking through the snow in a miniskirt, nor being grabbed by the tentacles growing out of the wall. Why does the speed of light mean to go up to 6? The old UNIT uniforms have been replaced. Good. The TARDIS is almost back to normal.
Yes.
Delgado is in every story. Did he hypnotise them? Bye for now.
Thank you. That's Ian Kirk, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, Captain.
Right, I'm now going to commence the next part of the show when I'm ready.
I have a question. Is anybody else as annoyed with Katie Manning as I am?
No.
No.
Well, she's inevitably naughty and goes against everything she's ever told to do.
But in this story, all she does is stand around and scream and be told, oh, you wait here.
Yeah, but she doesn't, though, does she?
No, that would be boring if she did, though, Mary. Come on.
Bad choice. Bad companion.
No, I disagree. Don't we all disagree with her, Mary, everyone?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Yes.
But I'm not sure I like her that much. She
is Mary, she's lovely. She's just wrong.
So the guys love her, I see.
What about you?
Women are holding their opinion.
Right then. Oh, yes. So before we guess what?
What?
It's now time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One. Right then, Kirby, who do you think will be ahead at the end of the question
Master?
Part? Yes. Who do you think
is going to...
Yes.
Master.
Mary, who do you think is going to be ahead?
Debbie.
Okay. Andy, who do you think will be ahead?
Adam.
Debbie, who do you think is going to be ahead?
Oh, me.
Oh, she's done her research this week, everybody.
It's interesting. When we started, everyone was saying it. I was going to, and nobody thinks so.
Your surprise is in win, won't you?
I'm going to be contrary.
I don't think I will.
Excuse me.
I bet you will.
I'm going to be contrary and say Kirby is going to win
this
one.
There you go, see?
I apologise to Andy and Mary, who never get a vote for whether they're going to win or not. So,
well, they both have won very recently.
They have indeed.
People.
That's, that could be a good for them if that tends to happen. Right, then, first question goes to Kirby.
Master.
And I've just got to put my icon over the appropriate sound effect.
Oh, stop it.
What? Kirby, what speed was the Axon ship travelling at? Travelling at?
Joker. Oh. Joker.
Yeah.
25 MPS.
Bing.
Well, there you go. Mary.
Yes.
What film star did Bill refer to?
I know.
Okay, I have to pass.
Oh, hang on. That's points for me. Who said I know first?
Kirby.
Yeah.
Errol Flynn.
There you go. Oh, well, I've given myself too many points. Damn, hang on.
Oh, well.
You're a master. You can
No. Yes, I'll play fairly, thank you very much. I don't need to cheat. I'll win anyway. Right, so that's Mary. So Andy.
That's why I say that you're going to win.
Andy?
Yep.
Where did the doctor think the UFO would land?
I know.
Southeast England.
I'll give you that one. I'd be a bit overly pedantic if I weren't to give you the points of that. In the script it said southeast coast, but I think the key part is southeast. That'll do. Well done.
Still count.
Yes.
Which is actually where that particular shingle beach is, isn't that?
Yes, thank you, Kirby. Right, then, next question goes to Debbie.
Yep.
Next question goes to... No, I'm only joking. Right. What
I wish you wouldn't do that. I've got a record to protect, and I'm not doing pretty well the past few ones.
But here's your question. What department was Chin from?
Oh, crap.
I think I know.
Defence?
Yeah. I suppose I'll have to give you that one.
Yes, it's defence. Well, yeah.
The answer is
Ministry of Defence.
MOD.
Yes. Okay. Well done. Next question goes to Kirby.
Master.
What did the tramp say? Oh, for God's sake. What did the tramp say when he saw the Axon ship? Bum. You already had the ding. You're not getting another one. Right then, Mary.
Yes.
Who was head of research at the centre?
I know.
Joker.
Ooh.
Windsor.
Hooray.
Yay.
Andy.
Yep.
What was the ship grown from? That's the Axon ship, obviously, because we don't grow ships.
I think I know.
I'll just say, I've no idea, so I'll say Axonite.
Hooray, I got a point. Who said I know first?
Kirby got in there first.
It was grown from a single cell, and now its nutrient is all been exhausted.
Right. The single cell was a bit I was looking for. Thank you very much. Debbie.
Yes.
How many shots did Bill fire at the ganglion?
Ooh.
Ooh. Oh, God. Was it just the one?
Oh, excellent. That's out on some points. No, it wasn't. Anybody else?
I can guess.
Go on, then.
Two.
Is the correct answer. Right, then, score update. In last place, with 2 points each, it's Andy and Debbie. In third place, with 3 points, it's me.
Sorry.
In second place, with 4 points, it's Mary. And in the lead, with 9 points, it's I shouldn't have been here tonight, so it's just as well I am, Kirby.
It's afternoon, not night.
Be quiet. Right, so next question goes to Kirby. I'm just seeing what it is
Master.
Before I decide. Yes?
Master.
He was responding.
Okay, right then, Kirby. I'm going to play my Joker on this one, Kirby. So, points available. This is your my Joker question. What colour was the phone Chin spoke to the minister with?
Well, you got your Joker.
Well, not necessarily. Okay, so you said that you don't know there, Kirby.
Kirby. Black. It was white.
Well, I was wrong. Kirby answered that one wrong. Andy then said he thinks he knows. Hang on, let me update the points. All right, it's 2 points to me. Andy?
I reckon it's red.
Oh, what's a shame. Another 2 points for me.
It was white.
No, it was brown. So, you all got it wrong. Brown phone. Probably because they all talk. The colour of the stuff they normally talk with. So, who's that question for originally? Kirby, wasn't it? Mary?
It's me.
Yes.
How long did they need for Axonite to encircle the Earth?
I know.
Oh, I have that.
I didn't even hear the question.
Well, let her answer it, and I'll tell you what it is in a minute. Sorry, Mary, what were you going to say?
How long until it does what?
It says, how long did they need for Axonite to encircle the Earth?
72 hours.
Bing.
Yep. Yay.
Is the correct answer. Andy?
Yep.
How much was the value of the equipment the doctor wanted to risk?
Joker, £50 million.
Debbie?
Yes?
What did Windsor call the doctor just before he changed into an Axon? That was Windsor turning into an Axon, not the doctor, obviously.
Joker.
Yeah?
Oh, you stupid quack.
Ooh, very good.
Ooh, indeed, yes. Right, next question.
We have now all jokers
successfully used. That's got to be a first.
Yes, including yours, Adam.
Yeah. I often successfully use mine, thank you, Mary. right, hang on. I'm just trying to clip that in. I keep losing my page. Right, the next question goes to Kirby. What power complex was at the centre of the story?
Newton.
I know.
Khmeri? I said Khmeri. There's nobody on here called Khmeri.
You're right, Khmeri.
Canary.
Yeah, Mary, what did the doctor call Axonite just before they started aging Joe?
I think I know.
Don't know.
At last, I get a point. Anybody?
I think I know.
Oh, sorry, Andy, yes.
Was it scavenger?
Ooh, more points for me. Nope, the answer was...
It was Fred.
It was cosmic bacteria.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Well, I think this next question is for Andy.
Okay.
How many units of Axonite were earmarked for Cape Kennedy?
Oh, God. Is that
I know.
Oh, God. Two.
I'm doing well now. Yes, Kirby? Kirby?
Oh, 10.
No, just 10, not 10. No, 10 will do.
Don't you know that they're making a sequel to the 10-10 movie?
No. Is Stephen Moffat involved in it?
Probably. He'll probably write it the way he wrote the other one.
Yeah. Debbie?
Yes.
Where did Sir George send everyone while the centre was in danger of overload?
Oh, God, he called it something particular, didn't he?
Really?
Oh, it was, it was obviously the shelters, the bomb shelters, but he called it something else. I can't remember. I didn't write it down. Yeah.
Well, I'll give you a point for shelter.
Yeah.
Because I'm not that bad.
I'll
go on then. You can have the 2 points. Yes, I've got it written down here. Blast wall shelters. So you only missed one word there. Yes. Isabella has just appeared. It's not Chewbacca. It is, in fact, Isabella, if anybody's watching on the live feed. Careful, Isabella. This is actually going out on my own Facebook page, not on the 20 megabyte one. Oh my, but no one's watching, so I wouldn't worry too much about it. Right, so that was Debbie's question. Right, shall we have a score update?
People are commenting, therefore they're watching.
There's only three people watching, according to my thingy.
I'm just going to stay down here because it's boring upstairs.
You think I'm going to be playing Monopoly again after I've had my bath? You've got another thing going.
No, I won. Actually,
yeah, because you're playing against yourself. She's playing against herself, everybody.
No,
so she's naturally going to be winning.
I played against the internet.
It's not the internet, it's the inbuilt AI. It's just the... It's a computer. Whose question was that last one? Sorry, I got put off then.
Mine.
yours. Right, then score update. Right, in last place, or joined last place, with 6 points each, it's Mary and Andy. In third place, with 8 points, it's Debbie. In second place, with 10 points, it's me. And in the lead, with 12 points, it's Kirby. Right, next question goes to Kirby, in fact, and it Asta. Is... What suicidal job did Sir George give himself?
I know.
So enthusiastic about it as well, Deb.
This is, we're into the fourth episode. I don't
you
know.
You might be. You don't know. Didn't you watch your fourth episode then, Kirby?
Yeah, 3 years ago.
Remember, he said he fell asleep.
Debbie, go on then.
He's going to disconnect the cables from the accelerator by putting on a radiation hat and...
Yeah, all right, thank you. Disconnect cables was enough. All right, Mary.
Yes.
Where were the claws of Axos deeply embedded? We've got to get it this way. It's part of the script.
Oh, yeah, and I don't do well with scripting.
It's just one I was going to use as a quote, actually. But carry on.
I think I know.
Kirby knows.
I don't know.
No point for me. Go on in, Kirby.
The Earth's carcass.
Well done.
Oh, Master?
Yes?
Master? Yes. A side note, because of your bell.
Yes?
Did you know that they have closed permanently the Tower of Terror in Anaheim?
Why?
Yep.
They're turning it into a Guardians of the Galaxy ride.
Yes.
But that's not the one in Paris, is it?
No.
This is one I got where I got this bell from. I didn't actually go on the
they
ride.
All, she went on the ride. They all sell the bell.
This one here went on the, what's it called again?
It was
the
fun.
The Hollywood Tower Hotel ride, yes.
Yes.
I didn't.
They're all of them are Hollywood Tower Hotel, except for the one in Tokyo.
Yeah. Nothing to do with Doctor Who, but never mind.
I loved it.
It has to do with Doctor Who and the fact that you're using it to go ding.
Thank you. It could be anything that goes ding. Couldn't it really? Never mind. Right, who's that last question for? I've completely lost the plot.
Did you see that Paul Gobert is talking to Isabella? His comment, "Hey, Isabella," and then he says, "Adam,
we can't see. We can't see the things because my thingy's not showing up on the."
She got a Wookiee outfit on. She does.
Yeah. I can't actually see any of the comments. Because I've got one window open that's got the questions on it. Now, let's have a look. It's Paul Gobert, Adam, let the Wookiee win. No. Wookiee's not playing.
machine that goes ding.
All right, let's see if we can find the questions again. Right, who was that last question for originally? Mary, wasn't it?
I am the Wookiee.
That was my question.
Yes, Andy gets the next one if he's still awake. Sorry, Andy.
What do you mean, still awake?
No, it's not mentally derogatory. There's been a big pause.
We're usually still waiting for Kirby about this
it's
time.
January.
Yes, it wasn't meant to be derogatory.
The most strongest thing I've had is communion wine.
No, it's
because... Oh, you had wine.
It's because communion there was a long gap between questions. It's nothing derogatory, Andy. I know you tend to fall asleep during the show, and I don't blame you sometimes.
Excuse me, I resemble that remark.
Yes, you do.
Right, Andy...
Hello.
This is your question. What you won't get this one. What did Chin munch on in episode 4?
I know.
Sandwich.
I think this could be salvaging my game.
Go
on then,
I know.
Debbie.
I said I know already.
Go on then, Debbie.
It's a chicken drumstick.
Oh yes, that's right.
Where have you been hiding? The canteen.
And Debbie, your question.
Yes.
What did Joe say at the glum... What did Joe say the glum Bill looked like?
Disappointed bloodhound.
Wait a minute, she's creeping away back into the game. So we're not many questions left. In fact, one round of questions left. Here's the current scores. In last place, with 6 points each, it's Mary and Andy. In third place, with 12 points, it's Debbie. And that's second place, actually, because joint leaders, me and Kirby, with 13 points each. Last round of questions, it's all on these. Well, it's not really, because we've got the pre-quiz bet to go on as well, and we've got a Wookiee in the room.
Yeah, Wookiee in the room.
Let the Wookiee win.
Shut up. Right, first question goes to Kirby. Sorry, last question Master. For Kirby, sorry. What rating did the Doctor give the Sun? You won't get this one.
What
rating did the Doctor give the Sun?
Fourth episode. I have no idea.
You no idea. Excellent. Right, who said I know? Was it Andy?
Yes. No, it's me first.
Yeah, it was Mary was first, yeah.
Go on, Mary.
Third rate.
Yay.
Right, Mary, your question. Why couldn't the TARDIS rematerialise? Or should I say, was it dematerialise? One of them something to do with
Mitchell. Dematerialise?
Rematerialise, sorry.
Because the doctor took the that little button that keeps it from happening.
Another good point for me there. Anybody else?
Was it because the High Council of the Time Lords have rigged it so it can only come back?
Another good point for me. Oh. No, the answer was they weren't in space-time. Okay, next question goes to Andy.
All right, okay.
When did the Axon say the Master could have his freedom?
I think I know that one.
When they've got the secret of time travel.
Oh, I'm doing so well now. Yes, Debbie?
Was it when the link has been forged or something like that?
Here's a great time. The final question goes to Debbie.
Yeah.
You might not get this one.
Probably not.
What is a time loop?
Oh, I know, yes.
Explain it. Hang on a minute. When one passes continually through the same moments in time. Continually through the same moments in time.
Nope. Anybody?
No.
I think it's a time loop.
Damn it!
I love Debbie was sort of there, in there with the answer. She knew it was right, but it wasn't. Right, so let's have a look where we are. The current score.
I thought you'd done your usual and that.
No, I hadn't done my usual. I don't know what you're trying to imply by saying that. Well, the current scores then were in last place. Mary had 7 and Andy had 7.
Well, somebody's got to hold up the bottom. You know that.
In joint second place with 13 each were Debbie and Kirby. And me racing into the lead with 18. Right then. So, Kirby predicted me. All right, so yep. that changes his score slightly. Mary predicted yep. Debbie. Andy predicted me. Debbie predicted Debbie. And I predicted Kirby. So the final scores are, in last place with 7 points, Mary. In fourth place with 13 points, it's Debbie. In third place with 14 points, it's Andy. In second place with 18 points is me. And the winner this week, surprise, surprise, the person who shouldn't have been here, so therefore perhaps doesn't really count, it's Kirby.
Oh, right. Kirby, who fell asleep during the
yeah. I would have watched it last night, except I didn't think I was going to be able to join you.
Oh, yeah.
He knew all along he was going to be. He was just trying to lull everybody in a full sense of security. Right, and now I'm trying to call up some Doctor Who news. Have you had your bath, Isabella?
I see Alan T. Butcher has responded to Paul Gobert saying, ha ha, machine that goes ding. Alan T. Butcher says, Theresa May said that this morning. Time loop means time loop.
Did she?
Also Alan T. Butcher points out that Chin is not a politician. He's a civil servant. Ah. And yes, I will, even though I said he was a politician earlier, I looked it up on TARDIS Wikia, and yes, he is a civil servant.
Just like me.
That makes all the difference, doesn't it? Yes. Anyway, right, Doctor Who news. The return.
I tried pulling it up. It just seems to be.
That's what she said.
Yeah, Doctor Mysterio, official ratings. According to this, this is the official ratings for Christmas Day. Call Midwife was number one, with Mrs. Brown's Boys at number two. Strictly Come Dancing at Christmas Special at number three. Originally, that was number one, so things have changed. The Queen's Christmas Message at number four. Great Christmas Bake Off at number five. Coronation Street at 6, 7, and 8. Doctor Who at number 9, above EastEnders. Now, that's a result, in my view.
Hi.
Yeah. So they go in the top 10.
But it's under 3 Coronation Streets.
Yeah, but above 2 as well.
Yeah,
so that's pretty good going. And above every episode of Emmerdale that was broadcast that week.
The Midwife is at
actually, it was above 3 episodes of Coronation Street. There was one there, one there. So it's half and half a coronation for it. Either way, Canada. Result 7.83 million viewers. Listen to the audible sound of not being particularly interested in that thing.
1921.
It's got the AI of 82, didn't it?
Sarah Jane Adventures, 10 years on. Today marks the 10th anniversary of the transmission of the first episode of Sarah Jane Adventures. The Doctor Who spin-off starring Elizabeth Sladen made its debut on BBC One at 4:51 on New Year's Day 2007 with a special 60-minute special written by the good old Russell T. Davies. I wish he'd write some more Doctor Who. Also starring Samantha Bond, Yasmin Page, Tommy Knight, who was in Victoria. Tommy Knight.
I know yes, he was. But when's it on?
Yeah. I mean, when's it on? It's just to say it's 10 years old now. Oh. So all these people are now grown-ups, aren't they? All the cast. Except one. Who's the one that isn't then? Well, she's dead. Exactly. For God's sake. All the people apart from her. Ken Dodd's been knighted. Yes, he's still alive, everyone. 89
really?
Years old. Yeah, he's now.
I thought he was dead.
Sir Ken Dodd. and the appreciation index for the return of Dr. Mysterio was 82, which is, again, it's pretty good. So yeah, not a lot of Doctor Who news at the moment.
Master. In the same article where Ken Dodd was knighted, an actor who was in what we just saw has an OBE.
Oh yes.
Tim Pigott Smith.
Oh yes, of course he's still alive, isn't he?
Is it Pigott or is it Peugeot, or how do you say that?
Pigott.
It's Pigott.
Okay.
Okay, if you go to whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
And if you're living on the Isle of Wight, that's very, very, very local. That's Ryde, but you do have to go to Ryde to actually get the benefit of our older sponsors. They have some new products coming
in. Can I get
a
ticket to Ryde?
Is that supposed to be funny? Do you think that was funny, no. Isabella?
No. Why? No, but you could get a ticket to Ryde.
But anyway, does she care?
As I was trying to say, who one have got some latest products coming in soon. Torchwood Archive, the Doctor Who Magazine 507, Doctor Who Special 45-year book, not 2017, with a picture of the Doctor and Bill on the cover. Pirate Planet book, which we mentioned last time, so a few new things coming in there. And bear in mind that Christmas is over. We have got very limited latest products on their list. So
it's three.
Yes, which I've just mentioned. Apart from I mentioned all three. Mm-hmm. So there you go. And they're not. They are. It says they're available to buy on the latest products. But if you go on the coming soon page, they're on. Oh, I'm on the wrong page. Deb.
The coming soon page is the one with the three on.
Yeah, I've pressed the wrong button. I was just reading the completely wrong information. I do apologise.
Hang on, yeah, mine's only just caught up as well. Have they just updated it or something?
Maybe they have. Sontarans available for pre-order, along with Absolute Power. Two big Finnish stories. There's a novel called Also People. What on earth is this? Ben Aranovich. Is this a special edition or something? It's a new Doctor Who Adventures, The Also People.
I need the Sonic Screwdriver Pizza Cutter. That looks amazing.
£25. It must be a very special book, this. It's 25 quid, but... maybe it's quite rare. It says number NA0390, released 1995. So if you want a very special Ben Aranovich novel, that's where to get it from, on pre-order as well. Cold Fusion, another big Finnish story, along with New Countermeasures and Original Sin, Outbreak, Quicksilver, and Return of Dr. Mysterio DVD, which you can get on Blu-ray as well, and the TARDIS Breakfast Bowl, £5.99. All these items available at whowon.co.uk. Now I'm going to go to the lavazzi.co.uk.
Oh, they've still got the brilliant TARDIS and Dalek Christmas hat.
Yeah, get them for next year. Dev forgot to get me mine, but I'll forgive her.
When I was master,
yes.
When I was out walking over to see how iced up our hill was, I was wearing my Lavazzi scarf.
Nice.
Yeah, so yeah, you can still get the Doctor Who TARDIS and Dalek Christmas hats from Lavazzi, and you can get the standard stuff like the Tom Baker scarves and Seventh Doctor items, not necessarily the umbrella, but anyway. Yeah, so Lavazzi.co.uk, and join the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, where we regularly post special offers from Lavazzi, who are very nice to us, aren't they, everybody?
Oh, very.
Yes, very, very. My favorite of all of our sponsors.
Right, that's essentially it for the show this week. Mary was alluding to a two-week break between now and the next episode because she wants plenty of time to watch a six-part story. That's six parts.
Me too.
Me too.
Six-part story, I believe, is Colony in Space, if I'm not very much mistaken, which features very young Helen Worth, who plays Gail something or other in Coronation Street.
Gail...
Platt.
No, she's not Platt anymore. She's been married twice since then.
Well, that's the last time I saw it then.
but, Master?
Yes, yes.
My novelization is that it's the Doomsday Weapon.
But is it not... Are we not watching Colony in Space? I don't know. Well, that's confused me.
For some reason, when the Target book came out, they called it Doomsday Weapon.
Okay. But for not to confuse our listeners and viewer... we're going to be watching, yes, Colony in Space as a John Pertwee story, okay? So look up that one. Yes. So in 2 weeks' time, let's get the exact date to help Mary out with her diary.
The
22nd of January. That's when we're aiming for. So you've got a bit
at the usual time?
7 p.m.
7? I like 7
o'clock, p.m. Yes.
Yeah, 7 o'clock. I like 7 o'clock.
So do
I.
Yeah,
for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So until next time, thank you for watching and sorry for being on the wrong channel, everybody who's watching on Facebook. Goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Goodbye, Fancy Pants.
Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.